the show.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show. It's been a minute. This is what I keep saying. It's really fascinating. I think the nature of my life in these last years have been kind of a mixture or like an oscillation between really immersive and then having some spaciousness, and then really immersive and having some spaciousness. And I'm seeing that like the moment that I have some spaciousness is a part of me that really deeply desires to create a podcast, to share about my experience. And I think in some ways, I guess this immersive quality, I've been immersing myself in different communities and community experiences. And so I think there's also this part that's like, my friend said it really well the other day. He said the role that we're in right now, he's also in the same role, which I'll talk about a little bit later, is like a very full service role, that our personality doesn't have so much space. And to be, I think, in that kind of full service role, right now I'm on a break. And then my personality comes back, which is like, I want to do a podcast. Yeah, and it's fascinating to be in this balance between service and taking care of the personal. And maybe that's what we're going to talk about today. This maybe like the shadows of service. I think that's a really beautiful topic. The shadows of being of service and serving and caretaking and holding space. And the balance, like what does it look like to be in service while caring for one's needs? To not sacrifice oneself for serving. And I think this ties into boundaries. And it's funny, from like an astrological perspective, Saturn right now, a planet that's really connected to difficulties, struggles, like even like handicaps or tests, or like really, it's like final exams, is right now in Pisces. And Pisces is this kind of like boundless energy, this energy that doesn't have boundaries, that is connected to everything, that is ultimate compassion. And it's like, oh, there are limits. Like Saturn is a limitation to my compassion, or it's a limitation to my boundaries. So it's like, wow, maybe there are parts of my life where I haven't been setting boundaries out of care for others. But it's time for me to find those boundaries, to find where I end and someone else begins, and what my limits are, and what is my limit in this human body. Like, and this is really fascinating. In some ways, Saturn represents like the physical world, the world of limitations, that it's like, okay, cool. Anything is possible within a certain kind of realm, and that's the Earth realm. It's like, it takes time to do things on planet Earth that in the spirit world maybe don't take time. And Pisces, this other energy, is really about, is everything. It's like the spirit world meets the earth. And where they meet is boundless energy meeting a limited, finite time and form. Yeah, so maybe we start there. So I'm going to take a big inhale and exhale. Yeah, I'll give a little context to where I am, and we'll start there. So right now I'm sitting in a friend's van, a very beautiful van, in a little, outside of a little kind of hippie town, we'll call it like this, in Sweden, called Udebo. And tonight there will be a plant medicine ceremony happening very shortly, in the next couple hours, and it'll span for 3 days. That will sit in ceremony, a group of us, looking very deeply at ourselves and the world, and how those parts meet. And the last 5 months I've been in a festival and retreat center called Ängsbacka in Sweden. And it's kind of like a summer camp, we'll call it like this. It's like a summer camp meets a festival. And so there's a summer season for 2.5 months where hundreds of volunteers come and hundreds of participants come, and we have like 1,000 people and many workshops, and it's a Yeah, it really is like it's a community experience. It is similar to it's living in community. It's like living in a group of people. You're working together to put on this like really amazing experience for lots of different people, and those people are having a really incredible experience sharing and living in a communal type environment as well. So I like this idea that it's like a community living experience. And when I say experience, what I mean is that so we have these summer months, and then we have like the winter months, which are like there are less festivals, and it's a bit quieter, and there's a couple courses that happen throughout the year, and then there's this like working community that continues to work throughout the year, and they live together. So it's almost like a place that can host up to like, 1,000 people now hosts only, 150 when there's courses, or 80 or 60 when there's not. So essentially there's a group of 60 people living here and kind of hibernating over the winter, keeping the place running for courses. And we're also doing the recruitment for summertime, or there's a New Year's festival. So it's like a little group that puts on these festivals that lives there over the year. And it's a cool design. And the reason I was bringing this up is that it's a community living experience, and it's fascinating because it's like, in some ways, it's not really our community. None of us own the land. We didn't purchase the place. It's been around for 25 years. We're all kind of here volunteering and working. And it's kind of like a company. I thought about this the other day. It's kind of like a company car. It's like all of the resources that we have at Engsbacka are, let's say, like rented to us, like rented out to us as long as we're working. So it's like you get a company car, and as long as you're working for the company, then you can drive this super nice car. And then if you don't want to work for the company anymore, you give the car back. And it's a bit like this, where it's like, wow, we have all these resources. We have really beautiful yoga studios that are available to us. We have like a kitchen, a beautiful, like really good food, a cafe, like lots of different resources. My room, a gym, a sauna, and yeah, and those are available to me as I'm working there, as I'm in service. So in that way, it becomes like a community living experience where it's like the experience is as long as you're here serving, then you get the experience. There's an exchange that's happening, which is maybe different than a community, which is a group of people that, let's say, build a place together, and there's less, I don't want to say restrictions, but there's less guidelines about, or different guidelines about what it means to participate in this community. Are we counting hours? Do we trust each other to work when we want to work? And in some ways, it comes down to like work, which is like, how are we going to sustain this place, and how are we going to sustain ourselves? And there's many different communities that do this differently. So yeah, what's fascinating is at the end of the summer, you have a group of people that are holding this festival that all of us seem quite exhausted. We put a lot of time and energy into creating a really high, let's say a really high quality experience. The breakfast team wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning to make food for the whole festival, and the other teams are working, to put up the decorations before the festival, and then the festival ends, and we have another one a couple of days later, and so they're taking down all the decorations and putting up new decorations for a different vibe or a different theme. And this is all really like service oriented. It's like, hey, we all want to create a really incredible experience for people. And the workshop leaders come, and they don't get paid. They come and give. Yeah, and it's interesting because there's like a what it sounded like is at the end of the summer, a lot of the kind of like central group of people that were supporting this place were quite exhausted. And there was like a mix between like exhaustion and resentment, which is like, oh man, I crossed my own boundaries giving to this place, and I feel undernourished. Maybe that was kind of like the tone. And there's many questions of like, why does that happen? How is that happening?
Yeah, and it's fascinating. This year has been, when I say this year, I mean this season at Engsbacka, at this place that I've been in, seems to have like a central theme around boundaries. which is what we were talking about earlier, like astrologically, in these next year and a half. Compassion and boundaries. How do I still set boundaries while being compassionate? And I want to explore this like in threefold, which is like maybe exploring like what is it that might stop me from setting boundaries? And then looking at the other side of like the experience of crossing somebody else's boundaries. I think these are like huge topics that came up this year. And yeah, I noticed like the first layer, I took a course on boundaries a couple months ago. And the first layer is like recognizing that I've crossed my own boundaries or that my boundaries have been crossed. And maybe like another way to say that is like I have given more than I wanted to give, or I've done something that I didn't want to do. And this happens all the time. And it's really fascinating because there's also a lot of almost like a what's the word I'm looking for? Not like fantasizing, but like putting on a pedestal the idea of like sacrificing myself. In fact, in a lot of relationships, there seems to be like a belief system that it's like it's okay or it's right to sacrifice yourself, or it's like an honorable thing to sacrifice yourself sometimes, or like everyone compromises sometimes, or you need to compromise. Or yeah, like sometimes you sacrifice yourself for others. That's just part of life. And this is a really fascinating belief that I would actually like to challenge. And in negotiation, there was a course I took years ago on negotiation, which was a compromise is like kind of the same as a lose-lose. It's like no one really gets what they want. Both people are sacrificing, which is a lose. But what would it look like to actually have every situation, or as many situations as you can, as a win-win? And that doesn't mean that you're like, oh, hey, I want to kiss you, and you're like, I don't want to kiss you. So what would a win-win look like? Oh, I kiss you and you also don't get kissed. That would be impossible. But it's actually to look a layer deeper at the needs that are below. What is below your desire to kiss? What is below your desire not to kiss? And then you actually have a lot more space. Oh, the reason I want to kiss is I want to feel close to you. We could cuddle. How would that feel? Or the reason I don't want to kiss is because I haven't brushed my teeth and I don't think my breath smells very good. Like, oh, would you be open to kissing on the cheek? Or I need to brush my teeth first. So below the needs, or like below the desires, are typically like something more spacious that you can find a new design to fulfill the need to get met, a new strategy. So, like, what would it look like if I was in a world that I didn't actually have to sacrifice myself for other people? Like, that's maybe like one question for the people that I love. Or sacrifice myself for the organization that I work at. I don't need to deplete myself to serve. And in some ways, like this would be the shadow. This would be the shadow of service. It's giving more than I'm able to give. And I have this like I have like this checklist because I love giving. In fact, I love giving so much that I need to pace myself. Otherwise, I will give too much and then I won't be able to give anymore because I'll be exhausted. This is typically what happens. It's like I give and then I feel resentful because I gave too much and then I start blaming the people around me. So I go into like a victimizing pattern. If this sounds familiar, raise your hand. Blaming other people for me saying yes to things, or even not saying yes. Sometimes I just give without being asked and then I get frustrated when I'm not thanked. Or when other people don't do the same thing for me. So I think one layer of why is it that I'm overgiving is like a lack of recognition of what my capacity is. a lack of the ability to identify within myself when I've given too much, when I'm doing something I don't want to do. And sometimes that takes time. Sometimes I don't recognize or I don't notice in the moment when I'm tired. But there's a beautiful list of things in this course, which is like, how can you tell when you've crossed a boundary, when a boundary has been crossed? And it's like, oh, I disassociate. I like no longer want to be in the present moment. I go up into my mind, or I energetically leave the room. Another one is that I blame others. I victimize myself. Another one is just feelings of annoyance or disgust or frustration. It usually means I just need to pause and step back. So these are some ways to like start detecting if I've kind of crossed my own boundary. And notice I'm saying like cross my own boundary. And there's another way of looking at it that's like someone crossed my boundary. And it's really fascinating. Now we're kind of stepping into this idea of like the drama triangle. Maybe this is like the second piece. And the drama triangle is that there's this like paradigm that we can unconsciously fall into, which is victim, perpetrator, and savior. And this is like when something happens to me, I blame somebody else. And then somebody else comes to try to save me. You can start finding this. And first of all, look it up, the drama triangle. You can find this online. But you'll start seeing it everywhere in your life. It's kind of crazy how much this happens. And what's crazy about it is that we don't have the ability to stay in one for very long, one role. They swap. So I'm blaming someone else for doing something to me, and they're like, yo, it's not my fault, it's da-na-na-na-na, and then they blame somebody else, and then they become the victim. And I become the perpetrator, because in my blaming them for doing something to me, I'm now attacking them for doing something to me, and I flip. And then the savior comes and is like, hey, what's going on? I need to save this victim. And then the perpetrator looks at them and they're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you saving them? I'm the one that's the victim. And then the perpetrator is like, hey, you need to relax. And then they become the perpetrator. And then it's amazing. It's amazing to see this dynamic. And the idea is, how do we actually empower both sides to step out of their dynamic? And what this might look like is, how do we empower the person who had their boundaries crossed for whatever reason, yeah? Like, to regain their power, which might mean speaking their truth or speaking to somebody or processing it. Or telling the person that might have crossed their boundaries, like, hey, that was really hard for me. That was really hurtful. And I wanted to say no, and I didn't say no. And to grieve that. Which is not an easy thing to do. And then on the other side, how do we get the person on the other side that we usually call a perpetrator, the person who might have overstepped somebody else's boundaries? How do we get them the feedback so that they can learn and grow and become more sensitive, more informed to check in? So that they don't unconsciously keep doing this. So we have like the responsibility of both sides. And there's a really beautiful question that I read at a camp at Burning Man, at Camp Contact, which is, how would you want to respond if somebody came up to you and said that you crossed their boundary? And this is like an inquiry that you can take with you. It's like, wow, how would I want to be if someone came up to me and said, hey, that really hurt earlier when you did that? Or I didn't want that to happen and you didn't ask. And some beautiful suggestions that they had were, the first one is to apologize. And not saying, there's this like, there's this apology that shifts the blame onto the other person, which is like, oh, I'm sorry that you experienced it that way and got hurt. But like to really genuinely apologize and say, hey, wow, I'm sorry my actions hurt you. Like, I'm sorry that when I said that, that hurt you. This goes a long way. The second piece is to recognize that even if the other person has a completely different narrative, that it's just as valid as your narrative. And to acknowledge that, even if they're different. The next one is not to defend yourself. Like, in this moment, this is not the time to defend myself, but rather just to listen. To share gratitude for them sharing and expressing. And to ask if there's anything you can do to support or to repair. The other one is to ask for support yourself, to go check in with somebody and ask for support. And something they said so beautifully at the bottom was like, you know, someone who crosses someone's boundary isn't a bad person. They also deserve support and love and care. And this is something that I saw quite a bit actually this summer. It's like, it's very easy to make someone out to be a bad person. And on the opposite side, good intentions also aren't an excuse. That can often be used to bypass. It's like, well, I didn't mean to. Awesome. And it's like, and it still happened. So how can I take accountability for what happened, not what I meant to happen? So like, having said all of this, the reason earlier that I was saying that I crossed my own boundaries is because this actually allows me to step into more responsibility for myself. I noticed that when I said if I say someone crossed my boundaries, I feel a bit helpless. And when I own that, wow, like I didn't say no. It's still really hard for me sometimes. I had a really difficult time and I don't want that to happen anymore, and I'm gonna start practicing. If I can go up to somebody and share with them, hey, like earlier when I said yes, or earlier when this happened, I didn't say no. And I didn't want that. And I want to let you know so that you can also be more sensitive in those situations, that there are moments where maybe people aren't saying no. And in hindsight, like a request I'd like to make is, can you check in with me next time when this happens? And it might even look like, hey, I actually, like, I'm not wanting to spend time with you anymore for the time being as I'm processing this. And something I saw a lot this summer is like when, let's say I crossed somebody's boundary, that I maybe touched them in a place they didn't want to be touched, or I yelled at them. And they may not be ready to give me that feedback. Or they say like, hey, I don't want to spend time with you anymore because it's like I'm hurt. There's also something around respecting that. This is what I'm noticing as well. Like, how can I, as someone who maybe overstepped somebody else's boundary, have compassion for them and for myself and not need to force them to give me the feedback, but trust that if and when they're ready, that they will do that. So yeah, it's interesting because we talked about the shadow side of service. That's kind of where this started, and almost like the shadow side of service is giving more than my capacity, or feeling like it all lands on me, or I'm the one who's going to like save this place, or if I don't do it, nobody else will. And there are all these like justifying kind of core beliefs that keep this behavior continuing. Or other people will resent me for not going above and beyond. It's the same thing. For taking care of myself. And this is kind of what it comes down to. It's like this simple checklist of, is it right for me to give right now? And then there's like two components. And one is, I have the capacity, check or not. And the second one is, I want to, check or not. And if either of these don't have a yes, then I'm probably crossing my own boundary, which will lead me eventually. Let's say instead of crossing my own boundary, I'm like depleting my cup, which will eventually lead to some level of either resentment, frustration, anger, exhaustion. And in a simpler way, it's like I won't be able to serve sustainably. It's like sustainable service means that I need capacity and desire. This is what I'm finding out for myself. And sustainable connection in regards to like boundary crossing in the interpersonal field is the same. Do I want to do this? And I might have to actually actively check in with myself, which is not always easy. There was a situation a couple years ago when I was giving someone a ride on my motorcycle, and they were like, there's two seats, and they didn't really sit on the second seat. They sat like right behind me, so they were straddling me. And I actually didn't want that. It made it more difficult to drive. And I realized it was really difficult for me to say, hey, no, because they didn't ask. They just got on and put their arms around me. And they're like, okay, I'm ready. And I realized that was a really uncomfortable moment for me. Like, I find that it's really difficult for me to say no when someone doesn't check in with me. And that's like me giving my power away to them. I'm relying on them asking for me to check in with myself. And so I needed to like put on my big boy pants and start taking more responsibility, which meant that regardless of if someone asks or not, knowing that I always have the right or the place or the ability to say, hey, this doesn't actually feel good. Can you scoot back just a little bit? It'll be a better drive. And this is still something that's, you know, that's a struggle that can be. So sometimes I would even pretend that they would say, hey, is this okay? And I'd say, oh, hey, actually, can you move back a little bit? Service is a beautiful thing. Doing things for others is a beautiful thing. And to make it sustainable, for me, it comes down to checking in with my capacity and my desire. If not, it seems to come from a shadow, come from an unconscious compulsion to help, to serve, to get validation for being helpful, for getting someone else's love, for helping them. And this doesn't last so long. So yeah, the shadow side of service is burning out. It's exhaustion. It's resentment. How can I serve in a way that's sustainable? How can I relate in a way that's sustainable? Does it mean hanging out with this person every day for 5 hours a day, 10 hours a day, how long will that last? How can I take breaks for myself in order to continue serving? And this is it. It's like in the idea or like the mindset of wanting to relate sustainably, I need to take breaks. I need to take time for myself to nourish myself. So the invitation for you in these next days, in these next weeks, is maybe to really start to notice, when am I over giving? When am I saying yes when really I mean no? Are there moments where it seems like I've actually gone beyond someone else's boundaries, where I've asked more than they wanted to give? Or perhaps I've made someone else uncomfortable, and how can I check in with them, or how can I receive that? How can I come to terms with there will be moments where I will accidentally cross other people's boundaries and I won't be as sensitive as I think I am, or I wanted to be, or I intended to be? And sometimes without intention, I'll still hurt people. And can I accept that? So yeah, the invitation this week is to tune into boundaries, to tune into capacity. What is my capacity? Do I have a capacity gauge that I can check before I say yes or no to something? This is what I'm looking at in my life right now. In what parts of my life am I giving more than I really truly desire? And what can I do to clean that up? Thank you all for listening. I hope if you're still listening that you still totally want to be here and that you haven't overgiven your time to listen. Yeah, may all of your decisions be deeply aligned with your heart, with your mind, with your belly, your sex. Sending you a big hug. I'm going to take 3 deep breaths. If you want to join, please feel free. Boundaries. Where do I end and where do you begin? See you next time.